We interrupt our regularly scheduled program for this special presentation of Inter Miami Soccer on ESPN 106.3. The pink smoke is in the air. That means legendary goals.
Oh, it's a cannon shot. Go ahead and give him the goal of the week.
Heroic saves.
Outstanding point blank save. You are denied.
Inter Miami Soccer is on ESPN 106.3.
Goal de Messi.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Lot to do, lot to talk about today. It is another Club FIFA World Cup edition of Pink Smoke. And joining me, obviously, is our co-host and producer, Damian Perez. This is Pink Smoke, ESPN 106.3. You can stream us live on that ESPN app. Go to listen live, scroll all the way down to ESPN West Palm. But Dame, I thought that, you know, there'd be a chance we'd be breaking down the matchup between DC United and the Inter Miami Herods. Nope. No, sir. How about the response from Inter Miami? Now, last Wednesday, when we talked to you fine folks here in West Palm Beach, we were worried that Inter Miami weren't going to get results against Porto, against Palmeiras. Dame, shame on us. Shame on us, because I could argue Inter Miami deserved 6 points. Now, they ended up getting four, and that's all they needed. I could argue Inter Miami should have won both of those games. Now, Palmeiras yesterday, and we'll break down all these games. We're going to start first with the Porto game. But if you're just joining us, Inter Miami has advanced to the round of 16. They will face off against PSG, the European champ, Paris Saint-Germain, in the round of 16. It's win or go home at this point, too. But Inter Miami able to tie Palmeiras last night 2-2. They had a 2-0 lead going into the final couple of moments in the game, but Palmeiras able to screen back, get their draw, and move on to the next round, as well as Inter Miami moving on. But the Porto game, I think, Damian, was a statement.
Yeah, absolutely. What's going on, Mike? Pleasure to be here, like always. And, man, what a day it is. I know on Monday we had such a big game between Inter Miami and Palmeiras, but going into this tournament, we were just talking about how we had to take it game by game. And now that we're in it, we can analyze how we were the better team against Porto. We went head-to-head against Palmeiras, which is one of the better teams in Brazil. They're actually the best team in Libertadores this year. And we're looking at an Inter-Miami team who's ready to play a knockout round against PSG, which is actually Messi's old team. So what a narrative. I know we predicted it here, but what a ride it's been so far.
And I think Lionel Messi, this is a moment. Like, I'm so happy Messi was able to have this moment with Inter-Miami. You know, last year, things ended sour, not being able to win the MLS playoffs. Now, granted, 73 points on the MLS table is nothing to snuff at, okay? That was absolutely incredible. But at the same time, this is American football. You know, you got playoffs. The leader at the table doesn't win the silverware. You know, well, they win they win the shield, but you don't win the MLS playoffs. So I feel like this squad with Lionel Messi really has underwhelmed up to this point, Dame. If I'm going to be completely honest, you got knocked out of the Gold Cup action this year on the club side in North America. We were all bummed out when they lost to Vancouver, who ended up losing in the next round. But regardless what happens against PSG, Dame, getting to the knockout round, being the first MLS team to beat a UEFA team in a competition, a lot of boxes have been checked with this Inter Miami squad. Yeah, a lot, in my opinion.
Who would have thought going into this tournament that was going to be the case? And to your point, you know, we have a sour taste in our mouth because last year we expected to win it all. We had a team of destiny, you can say. This year we made a great run in the CONCACAF Champions. Unfortunately, it was very underwhelming against Vancouver. And going into the Club World Cup, you know, there was a lot of question marks going in. Are we going to be healthy enough? Is Messi, Suarez? You know, Suarez was kind of in a slump. So just to see where we're at in this FIFA World Cup, I think we're playing with house money, and there's very little pressure going into this PSG match.
I think it's must-see television. I think that it's great to see all these people here in South Florida. Dame, the games at Hard Rock Stadium, maybe outside of the 3 o'clock Madrid game, but the games here in South Florida at Hard Rock Stadium, they've been packed. It's been loud. There were 60,000 strong at the game last night for Inter Miami and Palmeiras. And that leads me into our next segment, Dame, Little Messi Mania, presented by our good friends at PNC.
It's time for a little messy mania on Pink Smoke, presented by PNC Bank. The latest match results, highlights, and everything messy starts now. Brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Learn more at PNC.com. PNC Bank, National Association member FDIC.
Putting one behind the keeper takes more than talent. Sure, the pros make it look easy, but there's a whole lot of boring work behind it. Hours of drills, scrimmages, and dedication to the craft that ultimately pay off in a brilliant goal-scoring move. PNC Bank knows that it's the same with money. That's why they take a smart, steady, and, well, boring approach. So you can make brilliant money moves that help you score your own goals. And PNC Bank makes it easy and convenient to manage your money when and where it works for you, including with new branch locations opening across Miami. See how keeping your money boring could be the brilliant move for you. Visit PNC.com/brilliantlyboring. PNC Bank, proud banking sponsor of Inter-Miami CF radio broadcasts and Brilliantly Boring since 1865. The PNC Financial Services, Inc., all rights reserved, member FDIC. Well, it wouldn't be Messi Mania without telling you guys about Lionel Messi's crazy free kick goal against FC Porto. Damien, I jumped out of my seat.
Yeah.
I jumped out of my seat. Now, in the 54th minute, this turned out to be the decisive goal. We didn't know, you know, obviously in the 54th minute, no one else was going to score in the game. But it opened up, the game opened up with Porto getting a penalty in the 8th minute. And then Telesco Segovia in the second half in the 47th minute getting a nice goal. And then Messi in the 54th off of that free kick. But, you know, it wouldn't be Messi Mania with our good friends at PNC without a little Messi Mania and him scoring that goal. Dame, I think that was the goal of the season so far. Would you agree?
Yeah, and one of the most important goals in Inter-Miami history. You know, that was like you mentioned it. That was the first time not just an MLS team, a CONCACAF team has beaten a European team in an official FIFA tournament. So just to have that under your belt, you know, it's incredible. We're the first MLS team to do it. And there was a lot of criticism when Inter-Miami was chosen to be in this Club World Cup. So just to see them responding is huge for us down here in South Florida.
Thank God they're in this tournament. LAFC was a disgrace. The Seattle Sounders were a disgrace. Yeah. What? They were going to put the LA Galaxy in there? That was the cry, right? The cry was that the LA Galaxy belonged in it because they won the playoffs. You imagine
that.
Seriously, though. Let's rewind, 6 months ago when they announced this beautiful tournament? Yeah. The Galaxy people were all up in arms. Thank God that team didn't show up.
Safe to say they got it right, huh?
Yeah, for real. But Lionel Messi, to Damian's point, maybe the goal of the entire organization that he scored. And I mentioned Inter-Miami becoming the first MLS team to beat a UEFA side in a club competition. Dame, what do you make of the UEFA team struggling? You know, let's set aside our Inter-Miami Herons for a second, because with this result that we got 2-1 with Inter-Miami beating Porto, this wasn't the first UEFA team to fall victim to a team on this side of the hemisphere.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with the grit that these overseas teams, not overseas, the South Americans and I want to say the CONCACAF teams, but it's really just Inter-Miami.
Right.
So the South American teams and Inter-Miami, it's just the grit that they're playing with, you know. I don't want to say this doesn't mean as much to the European teams, but for these other teams to come just to prove that they can compete, that they're at level, that they're par with these teams in the world and that they won't get overlooked in a tournament like this, I think that's kind of been the driving force for these teams.
Totally has. And Dame, off of that too, I think that the South American team, this is a chance for them to prove that, hey, we might not be getting the spotlight like the Premier League, the Bundesliga, the La Liga, and some of these great leagues in Europe, but we got quality players.
Yeah, and a lot.
We got quality soccer.
At the end of the day, a lot of these European teams, they do their shopping in these very leagues, you know, the Brazilian League, the Argentine League. So just the talent is there. You know, the difference is that these European teams can come and they can basically outbid the South American teams and kind of just outright buy these players over. So the talent is there. I would say the European teams have more resources in a sense when it comes to having more of a bankroll. They also don't have a cap like they do here in the MLS, you know.
Yep.
That Brazilian team was over $400 million invested, whereas the Inter-Miami team has, I believe, it's just $5 million in allocation towards the salary cap. So it's just an incredible tournament. I think overall, the FIFA Club World Cup has been a huge success.
Tremendous success. And I love to hear the European teams go,
these pitches aren't up to fit. It's too hot to practice outside.
God. The complaining and whining, Dame. And listen, I love the Premier League. Like, I love European soccer. Let me make that very clear. But the complaining from the European sides in these tournaments, can we pump the brakes a bit? Can we relax a bit?
Borderline excuses at this point.
Big time. No, it's not borderline. They are.
I believe Dortmund watched the first half of the game. I can't remember who they were playing, but they watched it from the locker room because they claimed it was too hot. And I believe it was like an 87-degree day. Nothing crazy. I mean, I'm pretty sure over there in Germany it gets that hot. So yep. At this point, it's a mixture of complaints and excuses.
You saw Maresca, the gaffer for Chelsea, say earlier this week that the practicing conditions aren't ideal. We could only practice for about half of the practice time. Obviously, he's talking about the heat wave that has hit the East Coast. Chelsea practicing over in Philadelphia. And then Jude Bellingham had some strong words about the pitches for Real Madrid.
The reason why they play at 3 p.m. in Miami is because that's the peak time in Spain. So if you're going to get the main audience from the European countries, you're going to play at that time. Unfortunately, it's very hot down here. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, they do it to accommodate the people over there in Europe.
Right.
So.
And it's hotter in South America. Like, yeah. It's hysterical. Like, some of these players, Damian, that are complaining grew up playing soccer in 90-degree weather. Yeah. And now they're on the other side. So I can't take that serious. Now, I know Jude Bellingham is an English guy. And listen, it barely gets over to the very ripe degree of 75 in the motherland in England. But at the same time, like, let's have a serious conversation with ourselves. The UEFA sides have, and granted, Juventus has been great. Manchester City has been great. But, you know, Chelsea, they're probably going to advance here. But, you know, they lost the teams by the likes of Flamengo. Boca Juniors gave everything that they had to Bayern
Madrid
Munich.
And left out of the group.
They're done. Yeah. They're going home. They're packing their bags. I just think it's an excuse, Dame. It's an excuse for them to kind of hinder on, which is surprising. I did not think that would be the conversations. How about Botafogo?
Yeah.
How about Botafogo getting the nod to the next round? They're going to be facing off against Palmeiras and obviously PSG facing off against Inter Miami. And once again, folks, this is Messi Mania with our good friends over at PNC Bank. Speaking of the next fixture, we mentioned Paris Saint-Germain facing off against Inter Miami, Botafogo facing off against Palmeiras, Bayern Munich going to be facing off against Flamengo. What do you make of that? What do you make of that Flamengo team?
That's a great matchup. I think so too. That's a great matchup.
And Flamengo, they were down 1-0 against Chelsea. I thought the three goals they scored three goals in what, 10 minutes?
Yeah, that Flamengo team, many would say that is the best team out of Brazil. They are probably the most complete team when you look at their roster. So just to have them go up against Bayern, who actually slipped up points on Tuesday the other day, and they lost to Benfica 1-0, so ended up second in that group. That's why we do have that matchup against Flamengo. But that's one of the most intriguing matchups of the second round. I think Flamengo is a great team. And, you know, Bayern Munich, we all know what Bayern Munich brings to the table. Very complete squad. I believe Olise has been one of the better players in this tournament. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited for that matchup.
Now, I'm sad to see Boca Juniors go home. They were, you know.
Oh, my God. They tied Auckland.
I cannot believe that. And those are semi-pros.
Yeah.
You understand? Like, Dame, those are guys who have day jobs in New Zealand.
Imagine the worst media that teams have here in the United States, which is probably, I don't know, the Dallas Cowboys. Magnify that times 10.
Right.
That is the reaction that they are going to get back in Argentina. I am very excited to see that.
52nd minute, Gray was able to find the back of the net for Auckland City. And Dame, Boca Juniors, it was an own goal.
Yeah, and
they
now
scored on an own goal.
Granted, there was a long delay in that game, but still, you know, 1-1 against Auckland, you still had the entire second half to find a goal and win that game.
And I can't express this enough. These were semi-pros. This was the Oceania team, Dame? Yeah, semi-pros.
A lot of them had to request vacation time from
work.
Their first employers.
Like this is like you and me playing soccer in Boca. No, obviously not Boca Juniors. That's the city I thought of. This is like you and me going to the Palm Beach Club and picking up the ball and finding 11 guys on the street.
Representing Palm Beach in a FIFA World Cup. How about that?
Unbelievable. But Boca Juniors, because of that result, unable to get to the next round of the Club FIFA World Cup. Dame, what do you make of Javier Mascherano and how he's kind of gone through his lineups? We've been very, and listen, I was critical of Mascherano for a while. I was critical of Javier and some of the lineups he was trotting out for Inter Miami during that MLS season. But at this point, I think that all of the kind of fleck, let's call it, he was receiving during the MLS run when they were bad, it was deserved. But now it's time to give the man his flowers. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I think the theme with him is growth. You know, Mascherano wasn't a coach who had a lot of experience, so obviously there was a few things that he had to learn along the way. And Inter Miami, being the young team that it is, only being around for under 10 years, you know, this was the perfect club for him to come and kind of grow with the process. And like you said, at first, there was a few question marks. There was a lot of criticism because he kind of did things his way. But in the long run, I feel like we've seen that growth. He's corrected the mistakes as he's made. And where Inter Miami is right now, going into the second half of the MLS Cup, I think the motivation is high.
It is. And I think that Mascherano has been able to push the right buttons during this tournament. Like, even young players like Benjamin Kromaski, now it drove me nuts that he wasn't able to finish that that chance that he had against, I believe, Porto Dame. I was texting our group chat. I was losing my mind. But you've seen progression from young players like Kromaski. You've seen savvy vets. How about the pass? The one-time chest pass by Luis Suarez to put Tadio Allende on the break and for Allende to bag that goal.
That's another one, because Luis Suarez has obviously not been in his best form, and Mascherano has just stuck into his guns with Suarez. He's defended him the entire way, and I mean, Suarez, we've seen that with him. He's kind of had his slump since he's come to Inter Miami, and for Mascherano to put all of his trust in him when everybody around him was asking him, is it time to bench Suarez? Is it time to look for some alternatives? Mascherano put all his trust in him, and who knows, maybe Suarez gave him the best goal of the tournament up to now. I know it'll compete with Messi's free kick, but that goal that he had against Palmeiras yesterday, unbelievable goal.
And Alan Abando, the young player that Inter Miami signed on over from this, which league again, Dame? The South
Ecuadorian.
American league? Yeah, the Ecuadorian.
Barcelona.
He's 18 years old, and Atletico Madrid has the rights to him as a player. So he's a top-tier player. He's a player who's going to make an impact on world football one of these days. A lot of people were maybe going to the Alan Abando card. I think Luis Suarez, to Damian's point, putting a lot of that to rest. I'm impressed with the midfield.
Yeah.
Aren't you? I mean, without Yannick Bright, you and I both
thought. There was a lot of question marks going in with that Yannick Bright injury, for sure. But I think Redondo, who hadn't had the best start to the season, has had an unbelievable tournament.
He's been the cog in that central defense in the midfield, the box-to-box kind of player that Inter Miami needed with the injury to Yannick Bright. Sergio Busquets, I think, has been very, very serviceable with his long balls setting guys up. I call it the hockey assist, making passes that are leading to some of these goals. And the back line. You know, I know that 2-2, you know, against Palmeiras, I know they gave up a goal, but Inter Miami in three games has given up three goals. Dane, this was an Inter Miami side in the MLS that was leaking goals. This was an Inter Miami side that certainly had a problem when it came to defending and not letting opponents score. There was a crazy statistic, and gotta give my credit and shout out to our good friend Ken Lavica, voice of the Inter Miami Herons on the ESPN 106.3 English side. He had statistics about Inter Miami being one of the most poor teams in their last couple of fixtures when it came against not letting goals get into the net.
Yeah, absolutely. And that goes to show the discipline that we have under Mascherano, because it was really the mistakes that Inter Miami would create. It's those dumb mistakes, those dumb, immature turnovers that Inter Miami would commit, would just shoot yourself in the foot. And we've kind of just completely deleted that from our existence in this tournament. Another player that I also want to highlight is Telasco Segovia.
Mm.
And I think Mascherano, this is also a credit that we have to give Mascherano, because at the beginning of the season, we saw Telasco Segovia, who was playing very wide. They made that adjustment. Telasco is now playing more central, and I think he's playing a lot better. He's been one of our key players this tournament as well.
Agreed. He had a goal against Porto to tie things up. I know he got the hook against Palmeiras, but I liked a lot of his interplay, his link-up, his passes before he got subbed off of the pitch. And Dame, you know, you mentioned that Segovia has been kind of been playing off the left side. I always thought of Segovia as like a central midfielder, cam, you know, a number 10 that's going to make the passes that lead to goals or have, you know, shots outside of the box. But even with Segovia playing out wide, you are right. They've centralized him. It's kind of the Messi role, right? I mean, how about, you know, Messi, a lot of the times in Mascherano's system and even in Tata's, he'd play off the right, but he'd be centralized more often than not.
He makes that cut inside.
I think you've been seeing that from Segovia this tournament, and the 4-4-2 has worked out.
Yeah.
Remember the formations, and we always thought Javier was getting the formations wrong. Like, we loved when he ran the 4-3-3. We hated the 4-4-2. How about the 4-4-2 and how well it's worked at the Club FIFA World Cup? Yeah. Reminiscent of the European teams that used to run two strikers, a la Manchester United with Ronaldo and Rooney and Van Nistelrooy and all that.
Yeah, in a tournament where Inter Miami, you know, in the MLS, we're used to Inter Miami being the team that's on the offensive. They're the team that's always attacking. The team that they're playing against is sometimes sitting back, you know, trying to hold off this Inter Miami team. But in this Club World Cup, we're seeing more of a balance. Inter Miami has an opportunity to set themselves defensively, show that they have discipline. And I think the 4-4-2 works perfectly for that. It's a better shape defensively. It allows you to be more disciplined against these teams who are going to be attacking you more often than what MLS teams do. So that's why I think the 4-4-2 has been working instead of the 4-3-3 in this FIFA World Cup tournament.
Now, Javier Mascherano, the gaffer for Inter Miami, didn't make a change in game number two against Porto. Ian Frey started against Al Ahly. Marcelo Weigand came in and he had an assist game. He had an assist against Porto. And this group right here, these four right here, Noah Allen, actually, let's say three, Dame. Noah Allen, Falcone, and Weigand. I feel like those three have been go-tos for Mascherano in the two games where Inter Miami seen success. Toto Aviles, a guy who we thought was at the bottom of the totem pole, bottom of the depth chart, bottom of the roster. He showed up and showed out in that game against Palmeiras as well. I think the back line, and I know we've touched on it already, so I won't spend too much time on it, but the back line, I think, has been the most impressive part for me. Suarez has looked great. Obviously, Dame, Messi has been the best player on the team. Segovia has been great. But I think the back line and Oscar Ustari, specifically Oscar Ustari, how about his save against Al Ahly? Dame, the saves late in the game to save the draw for Inter Miami as well. We were texting you, myself, and Elias Bustamante from 760 AM Deportes here. We have our group chat, and I said, how about Oscar Ustari? And you sent me the gif of the pilot sweating his you-know-what off as we're trying to hang on for the draw. What an end of the game. Listen, I know Inter Miami drew, and I know at the end, you know, we're trying to get wins, but, like, what a game that was. I think that was arguably the game of the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely.
The game of the tournament.
And we should feel like that was a loss, but that's not the feeling.
No.
You know, we had a 2-0 lead with, I believe, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes left. And unfortunately, Palmeiras did tie. But at the end of the day, Inter Miami's qualifying to the next round, which was never expected. So overall, I mean, in a lot of cases, this would feel like we lost that game.
Yep.
You know, blowing a 2-0 lead late. But like you said, man, it's been an unbelievable run. And I don't think this is just going to help us in the FIFA Club World Cup. This is going to help us moving forward in the MLS Cup. I think the motivation that the team is going to find after this tournament is going to help them in the long run as well.
These are top-tier teams on the Club FIFA World Cup side, and Inter Miami made it to one of the last 16. Think about that. Think about that.
When nobody expected them to.
No,
in a tough group, too.
No MLS team has ever beaten a UEFA team. Inter Miami did that. And we'll get to around the MLS here in just a second, but let's just put it this way. Outside of Inter Miami, it has not been good for everyone else outside of the MLS. Folks, that was a little Messi Mania presented by our good friends over at PNC. When we return from break, we'll go through the injury report. We'll see who's got a couple of knocks heading into that round of 16 game coming up this Sunday. That's going to be a noon kickoff. PSG, Paris Saint-Germain. The European champion. How about that? The European champion facing off against who I think is the best team on this side of the hemisphere, the Inter Miami Herons. More Pink Smoke when we return right here on ESPN 106.3.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome on back, folks, to Pink Smoke, where we talk everything Inter Miami, Lionel Messi, and this week, again, Club FIFA World Cup. If you're just joining us, folks, Damian Perez and I were a little worried last week when we thought we were going to be previewing the DC United Inter Miami game. We were both going to be here in studio. You know, it was going to be MLS season. Not that, listen, we love the MLS. We love Major League Soccer, and we love our Inter Miami Herons being in that league, but that would have meant Inter Miami was out of the Club FIFA World Cup, and that's not the case. Inter Miami able to get 5 points on the Group A table and advance into the round of 16. They will face off against Paris Saint-Germain, PSG, the UEFA champion on the Champions League side in Europe, Lionel Messi's former team. All the storylines are there, and I have hammered the plus 1,200 for Inter Miami to win the game. Dame, let's get into the injury report presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, and see who is going to be available for the game coming up against Paris Saint-Germain.
Now it's time for the Inter Miami Injury Report, presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
And now a fight for it, one right back by Inter Miami.
Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com.
Foryourrights.com, folks, that is foryourrights.com. If you know somebody who has been injured, Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath have been serving South Florida for 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com. That is foryourrights.com. Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. Getting right into that injury report, Dame. Davi Ruiz, what do we call him? The hashtag hamstring boys?
The hammy squad.
The hammy squad, that's it. Davi Ruiz, Gonzalo Luan, Yannick Bright, all with the hamstring. Now, how about this? Ian Frey popping up with a groin strain. When did that happen?
At the game against Porto.
So Ian Frey popping up. Now, there's no timetable on that.
That'll take at least 2 weeks, a week and a half around there.
So Ian Frey, week and a half out. Inter Miami most likely going to be done at the Club FIFA World Cup by then, pending a big, big win against Paris Saint-Germain and more after that. But Gonzalo Luan, that hamstring, early July. Drake Callender with the hernia, the only player not part of the hashtag hammy squad. Drake Callender with a hernia early July. And then once again, Davi Ruiz early July with the hammy. Yannick Bright early July. So how about that, Dame? Last week, Davi Ruiz and Yannick Bright and Gonzalo Luan, it was late June. Now it's early July. It's looking like these hamstring injuries are lingering around more than we thought.
Yeah, these hamstrings, they're tricky. You have to let the hamstring heal. Not 100%, 110%, because it's very easy to re-aggravate. We saw it with Baltasar Rodriguez, a player who came back from injury, and he actually got his first minutes since that injury against Palmeiras the other night. So good to see him back, but the big loss against PSG is definitely going to be Ian Frey and Yannick Bright, obviously, which has already been out. But PSG also has a very key injury in Dembele. So,
yep.
Curious to see how all that ends up unfolding.
And we've been seeing a couple of players play that number nine role for PSG. Senny Maliouli. I knew I was going to pronounce that wrong. He is a 19-year-old Frenchman who got the start as the number nine for PSG. Obviously, with Kvaratskhelia and Doudé coming off that right side, Kvaratskhelia coming off the left, they've centralized Dembele this year, Dame, and a lot of people voting for him to possibly win the Ballon d'Or. You saw Ramos, Giancarlo Ramos from Portugal. Mm-hmm. He was the number nine in their game against Botafogo, and then the 4-0 win against Atletico Madrid, that was Ramos again. But you saw, I mean, Kvaratskhelia, Dame, what a player.
Yeah,
he had two goals against Atletico Madrid. He's been arguably their top player so far at the Club FIFA World Cup with getting, goals, assists. He had a goal, too, against, so three goals. How about that? Kvaratskhelia, three goals in three games, one against the Sounders, and then that brace against Atletico Madrid. I think Inter Miami going to have their hands full, specifically Marcelo Weigand, who usually plays on that right-hand side.
And he's only 24 years old.
No one wanted him, too.
He slipped through the cracks. I don't understand how he got to PSG so easily. I don't even feel like it was breaking news when he was signed.
Wasn't.
But unbelievable player, makes such an impact. And very dangerous just to have up there in that attack with young players like Doué and Dembele. Mm-hmm.
So Kvicha Kvaratskhelia, folks.
Great pronunciation, by the way.
Appreciate
That's unbelievable.
It. Appreciate it. The Georgian, he came on over from Napoli to PSG. So Napoli, who, believe it or not, they get rid of Kvaratskhelia and they win their tournament. They win their Serie A without arguably one of their key pieces. So
who also did that? PSG.
Yeah. It's a firm handshake. Yeah. You want to know what I say that, Dane? That between two teams, firm handshakes in the chat, mate. Firm handshakes because Kvaratskhelia able to go on over to PSG and win. Napoli won theirs, and then obviously you're alluding to Kylian Mbappe, arguably the best player in world football, moving over to Real Madrid. No silverware. How about that? Well, they could win the Club FIFA World Cup this year.
But so Mbappe hasn't played a minute in this tournament.
Yep, so far, no silverware for Real Madrid, and obviously Mbappe has been MIA. Mbappe, MIA at the Club FIFA World Cup. Dame, am I grasping at straws here for the plus 1,200 for Inter Miami to win the game?
No, I mean, at this... Listen, I don't want to sound delusional, but at this point, we deserve to dream, you know?
Yeah, we do.
We deserve to be a bit delusional, take that 1,200 line, and just absolutely hope for the best.
Now, Gianluigi Donnarumma, for all my loyal Pink Smoke fans out there, you guys know I love my Italian squad. I'm half Italian on my father's side, hence the last name Rizzo. It was funny, Dame, quickly on that. We were out somewhere, and I was with some buddies, and... guy goes, Rizzo. He goes, what are you, Italian? My one buddy goes, what, do you think he's Irish? But yeah, anyway, big Donnarumma fan.
Actually knows him well, though.
Yeah, exactly. I actually do, Dame. I told you I was a PSG fan once upon a time when Edison Cavani and Di Maria played before they got sold to the Crown. I was a fan of that up-and-coming PSG team. Can't say I'm much of a fan anymore, but listen, I like France. I want to visit one day. I want to visit Paris, but... I am betting that Inter Miami plus 1,200. Botafogo beat him. That's the way I look at it.
Botafogo beat him.
Am I disrespecting Botafogo?
A little bit. They are the champions of Libertadores, which is the equivalent of Champions League. So they are a great team. But, I mean, nonetheless, I don't know if you watched that game. PSG was all over them the entire game. The goal that they got was off a counter. So, obviously, the better team in that game was definitely PSG. And it's definitely... I don't want to say they have weaknesses, but I think that game was taken out of context and can be completely thrown out. But with that being said, I mean, we got Messi in the field. And another thing about Messi, because we all know how good he is with the ball at his feet, but it's physically. To see how much he's running in this tournament, how much he really wants it, he's defending, he's attacking, he has that grit, I think that just adds to his greatness.
I saw him get angry in that Palmeiras scene. He picked up a card.
Yeah.
He picked up a card early on. I think that was the first half too, and the entire time, you know, you're kind of holding your breath during the game. You know, my God! In the first half, he got a card. I would have been a little worried.
It was he cut the counter.
Yeah,
I remember
he was pissed because Inter Miami, I believe Tuesco Segovia got it outside of the box, and he immediately didn't even have a chance to take a touch. Perfect tackle by Palmeiras,
and he had to do it. You know, in those situations, you have the lead. You can't afford a counterattack where your team is not ready to defend it. You know, let's take the foul and take the yellow card, live to fight another day.
Yeah, and certainly Inter Miami able to capitalize later on in the game to go up two goals. But, man, I'm all pumped up for that PSG matchup. Now, Dame, I do have some tragic news. I'm going to be on an airplane during the game because I am traveling this weekend.
Got to buy the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I'm traveling this weekend to my cousin Katie's wedding in Buena Vista, Colorado. It is a one street town. We are quite literally going to be the talk of the town with the wedding being there. But I think, Dame, No Names Please, the No Names Please airline that I'm going to be flying, I believe they got the TVs.
Oh, that's clutch.
I think they have the TVs.
I mean, that game, I know it's plus 1,200 odds. It's a very, you know, crazy game. It's going to be a tough game for Inter Miami, but you got to watch it.
I didn't see, Dame, the Botafogo line against PSG, but it had to be similar.
Yeah, it was around there.
It had to be similar.
I feel like any team playing PSG going into the tournament, it was Real Madrid and PSG were the overwhelming favorites to win it all. So any team that goes up against these teams, they're definitely going to be a long odds.
So, yeah, the matchups that are set, Flamengo, Bayern Munich, PSG, Inter Miami, Palmeiras, Botafogo. I think those are already great matchups. We're obviously going to figure more of these things out as we progress throughout the Club FIFA World Cup and see who ends up in the knockout round. But Dame, who's kind of been that team that's been... Is Atletico Madrid the most disappointing team that has showed up at the Club FIFA World Cup going home already?
Either Atletico Madrid or Porto. Those are the two teams that come to mind. But being the quality of the teams, it has to be Atletico Madrid. I think Atletico Madrid had more expectations. Now, their group was a bit, it was a hard group, but nonetheless, I feel like they should have found a way to at least qualify in that second place slot now, of the group.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Dame. No Mexican team made it to the round of 16. I believe Monterrey, they're still flirting with possibly getting in, but I think River Plate.
Yeah, River Plate.
River Plate and Inter Milan. I think they're, you know, I think they're shoo-ins.
That's going to be a very competitive
game. About that
game.
Gold Cup club teams. The only team to make it out, Inter Miami.
Yeah.
About that.
And they were the team that was most scrutinized. Yeah. There was a lot of question marks why they were even in this tournament. Well, now you got the answer.
First off, what, you're going to leave Messi out of this thing?
Yeah.
Messi, the greatest, arguably, him or Cristiano Ronaldo, however you see it. Arguably the greatest player of all time, came on over to the MLS, and you're not going to put his team in there? Hey, LA Galaxy, worry about winning an MLS game.
Yeah.
How about that? Okay. That was the outcry, too. And I can't take that serious, Damian Perez.
I know we talked about it in the first segment, but imagine if LA Galaxy, which the form that they're in this season, imagine if they were in this tournament.
Do my head in.
They'd be like the Auckland 2.0.
I mean, Auckland, give them their credit. They picked up a draw,
yeah.
Dame.
Yeah.
I'm not sure LA Galaxy would pick up a draw. Auckland got a point. The teams who, you know, and like, you look at some of the teams that struggled to get points in this. I'd put LA Galaxy right there if they were in this tournament.
Another team that honestly looked horrible. Like, we got to be honest here. Mm-hmm. They did the first game against Chelsea, they kind of showed some hope. But it went all downhill after that.
And they were shameful. Call for what it is. They were shameful. Losing the Tunisian team. Tunisia, am I pronouncing that right, brother?
Yeah.
Tunisia.
And I don't know if...
Esperance, I believe.
In that game, Buanga missed a penalty like in the 95th.
Yep.
In the 95th minute that would have tied them and would have kept them alive in this tournament. What just blew it.
My buddies, you know, that are world football snobs. How about that? English football snobs. Let's put it that way. They say the American teams, the Mexican teams, they struggle with end product. And Damien, you've played soccer your entire life. You played at the college level. End product is a word that I crack up at. Like, just, you know, me growing up with American sports, like end product, it took a little bit for me in like the eighth grade for all my soccer friends to say that. It's kind of true, though. Right? Inter Miami has end product with Messi, Suarez, and Allende. These other MLS teams, maybe outside of Vancouver and San Jose, the teams that make games into track meets, they struggle with end product at times.
Yeah, and it comes down to also the pressure of things. You know, when you have players that have been here, done that, like Messi have and Suarez have, you know, we're not talking about a regular MLS team with this Inter Miami team.
Right.
This is a team that they have a lot of experience. They have players that have won World Cups in Jordi Alba and Sergio Busquets, so... This is not, you know, a regular MLS team, but nonetheless, it's definitely the team that's representing the continent.
You forget about this sometimes. Honestly, I don't know how I forget about them, but I forget sometimes about that golden generation you alluded to with Alba, Busquets, and all those great...
Xavi,
all those great midfielders. Who is their striker up top?
David Villa, Fernando Torres.
Yeah, Torres. That's who I'm thinking of. That squad was unbelievable.
They've been here. You know, they know what it takes to win these games. They know what it takes to do... all the things off the field as well. I think that's very important. The concentration off the field leading up to games, you know.
Yeah.
You have a locker room with both very experienced players as well as young players, so it's important to have that.
Now, if I could take my jabs at the U.S. men's national team quickly, those guys would show up for the Gold Cup for their country.
And
those guys would show up. Let's take a timeout. Our final timeout of Pink Smoke. When we return, we talked briefly about LAFC, how they were a disgrace. A couple other MLS teams, obviously outside of the Herons and LA Galaxy, Seattle Sounders. A lot of MLS teams have been playing in the Club FIFA World Cup. We'll go around the MLS and we'll go around the Club FIFA World Cup when we return right here. Pink Smoke, ESPN 106.3.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Our final segment of Pink Smoke. Lionel Messi and our Inter Miami Herons qualifying for the round of 16 at the Club FIFA World Cup. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez, we're taking you all the way up until 7 o'clock tonight. We're all fired up about the Herons being in the round of 16. We thought we'd be breaking down DC United and Inter Miami today. And I'm going to pull a quote from one of my favorite broadcasters ever, Lee Corso, Damian. Not so fast. The Inter-Miami Herons playing Paris Saint-Germain in the round of 16. The European champion. Champions of Europe. You'll never hear that. That is to all my Arsenal fans listening out there. That is a low blow, some would say. But as a miserable United fan who has won that trophy eons ago, we still are allowed to say that. But it is time to go around the MLS, presented by your good friends at Audi.
Now it's time to go around the MLS, presented by your local South Florida Audi dealerships. Test drive the new Q6 e-tron today at your local South Florida Audi dealer or visit AudiOffers.com to learn more.
The road is calling, folks. Embrace the thrill of the drive with the fully electric 2025 Audi Q6 e-tron. Featuring effortless power, serious acceleration, advanced Audi technology. It's not just a new electric vehicle, it is a new way to experience driving. The fully electric Q6 e-tron, the next chapter of Audi, is here. Test drive the 2025 Audi Q6 e-tron at your local South Florida Audi dealer today or visit AudiUSA.com to learn more. Folks, AudiUSA.com to learn more. I mentioned that the Seattle Sounders, the LA Galaxy, and the Inter-Miami Herons in the competition. Dame, Seattle well on their way out. LAFC well on their way out. I'm not shocked that Inter-Miami is the last team standing here.
No, and combined LAFC and Seattle, 2 goals in favor and 10 against.
Yeah, so they've been completely ran off of the pitch time in and time out. Damian and I talked earlier in the show, last segment, specifically about how LA Galaxy was crying that they weren't the team at the Club FIFA World Cup. They were upset that Inter Miami was there. Well, thank God the LA Galaxy is not at the Club FIFA World Cup, because right now they are a hashtag scroll down FC. And if we relegated teams on the American side, they would be relegated next year, Damian, out of the MLS.
Yeah, and Seattle, they played both their games, or I believe all three of them, in Seattle.
So home
they,
games.
They were comfy and home for all these games, and just only 2 goals in favor, seven against.
Listen, this is a team that is 14th on the supporter shield, right? This is a team that certainly has not had a good year. I mean, Dame, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They've lost their last 5 games. 3 of them have been.
I would have liked to have seen Columbus over Seattle.
Me too.
I think they've had enough success.
Let's call for what it is, too. Columbus has been in bad form, too. So 1, 2, Dame, bear with me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 games in a row. Yep, 5 games in a row. The Seattle Sounders have lost. So this, now the Sounders got in from what? The past 3 years from them being a good squad over 3 years?
That's a great question, because the criteria has been the past 4 years.
Okay.
So success in the past four years. So yeah, it had to have been some success in the past four years.
And it's just, you know, they don't belong, clearly. I mean, it's tough to play Paris Saint-Germain. It's tough to play Atletico Madrid. You told me that Botafogo won the Libertadores competition, which is basically Gold Cup and Champions League of South America.
Yep.
They've played great teams.
Now, Seattle must have made it because they won the CONCACAF Champions Cup in 2022.
Okay.
That's really the only success they've had, so that must be the criteria.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be the only criteria at this point. But that's, you know, those are the MLS teams that are around. That is around the MLS. But I want to do my good friends at Audi their due diligence, Dame. Let's go around the club, the FIFA Club World Cup. Palmeiras and Inter Miami stamping their tickets in. PSG and Botafogo stamping their tickets in. Benfica and Bayern Munich stamping their tickets in. We're still waiting on a couple of results as well here. Flamengo is on to the next round as well. I already asked you what's kind of been the underwhelming team of the tournament. You mentioned LAFC. You mentioned Atletico Madrid. Dame, who has been the surprise in your eyes so far at the Club FIFA World?
The obvious one for me is Inter Miami, but I'll give you one that is
outside of our Herons.
Outside of Inter Miami, I mean, it's got to be Botafogo. Being in a group with PSG, Atletico Madrid,
Even Seattle.
I mean, that was going in. We talked about the group of death. I think that was the one that we singled out. So Botafogo, and I know they won Libertadores, but like I said, to be in a group with PSG and Atletico Madrid, and to beat PSG, the defending champions, and also the favorites to win it all, I think that's a huge feather in their cap.
I think River Plate has in Argentina, too, has really performed well. Help me out with pronunciation again, Dame.
Libertadores.
So I know, you want to know how I know that? From FIFA Ultimate Team.
Yeah.
EAFC Ultimate Team now. Because you used to have to use the players for the specific SBC right. that you want to grind for. Turns out that these teams are legit.
Yeah. I mean,
they're like, legit.
It really comes down to, you know how in for example, in baseball, you have the Dodgers that can just outbid anybody in the league. That's really what it comes down to with these European teams. When a European team comes and knocks on a young player from River Plate, when he knocks on their door and he offers them a contract, 80% of chance, they're going to say, yes, let's go to Europe. You know, that's that next step in their career.
Yep.
So it's not a thing. It's not a case of talent. I think it's just a matter of can they keep their players or not in town.
I mean, Dame, look at the top teams. Look at the top teams year in and year out at the World Cup. A lot of them are South American.
Yeah.
You're Uruguayo. You know, you're Uruguayo. I said that right.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Good. You've taught me well. But, you know, they're great. Colombia, I understand that they've been in a rut recently. They have great players. Argentina, I mean, you go back to Maradona and Messi. I mean,
Brazil,
who arguably is the GOAT of the World Cup on the all-time. Damien, these are the best teams ever.
Yep.
And these are the best teams ever. They got to come from somewhere. They come from these clubs.
Absolutely. And that's why going into these tournaments, I feel like a lot of these teams felt like they were being overlooked, you know?
Yep.
And that was kind of like a chip on their shoulder in a sense, and we're seeing it now.
I'm excited for this upcoming weekend fixture of games. Once again, folks, this is Pink Smoke. Mike Rizzo and Damian Perez are taking you up until 7 o'clock. Almost out of showtime here.
Inter Miami River Plate tonight. Yep. Great game.
Yeah, huge game. Huge game coming up tonight. Looking forward to that one. Now, Dane, the next time I'm going to talk to you, Inter Miami is going to play PSG by then next Wednesday. In under a minute, give me your thoughts on the game.
Let's hold on for dear life. Let's catch him on a counter and win that game. And 1-0. I'll give you a 1-0.
So you're drinking the Kool-Aid as well.
Yeah, I'll go. You know what?
I'll go 1-0 too. I bet it with our good friends, you know, over at Hard Rock Bet.
But let's catch him on a counter and then just park the bus.
+1200. That's the odds that I got. But folks, we appreciate everyone who listened on in to Pink Smoke episode 19 tonight on the program. Enjoy the Club FIFA World Cup over the weekend. Enjoy all these great teams. What a time it is to be a football fan here at, or rather in the United States. We'll catch up with you next week. We'll see you later. Bye.